Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Writer and director Daniel Alvarenga was born in Berlin, but has lived in Bavaria since childhood. The trained photographer and self-taught filmmaker has received 19 nominations and 5 awards for his passionate independent productions in recent years. His latest film, Hundshut, currently in theaters, is inspired by one of the last witch trials in Bavaria and is set shortly before the outbreak of the Second World War. We talked to him via video call for this interview. Hi, Daniel. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today. For our listeners, you're smack in the middle of an intense start phase for your latest film, Hundshut, which is currently in theaters. We're talking in the second half of April 2024. And I think it's safe to say that this film has been a labor of love.
Yeah.
Our current podcast season is about the genre Heimatfilm. And Hundshut, while being a historical drama thriller first and foremost, can also be argued to belong to the Heimatfilm genre. And can you tell us what attracted you to that story in particular?
I think it's unfortunately very timeless story. It's set in 1932 in Bavaria. But I think the dynamics in the village or in our society generally are very, very timeless.
Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, quite a few creatives, directors, actors, producers, that I talk to they're always very careful not to commit to a genre. And it really actually doesn't matter if it's Heimatfilm or romance or horror. And were you aware that your film might be associated with the Heimatfilm genre? And if so, was that maybe even a deterrent for you?
I actually wasn't aware of that until you invited me to this podcast.
Sorry.
I've always found it difficult to really categorize Hundshut. It's basically a drama, but it also has elements of a thriller, as you said. But when I thought about it, I realized you're absolutely right. So even if the story is hopefully very timeless and not limited to a specific place, it is clearly located in Bavaria because of the dialect and the location. I think the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word Heimatfilm is the perfect world Schlager films from the post-war years. But if you get away from that, it's definitely a compliment and not a deterrent.
Now let's talk a bit more in detail about your film. Were you nervous or excited to tackle a story like Hundshut? As you say, it's quite timeless and universal in a way. Or were you maybe even a little bit protective of the story when you started working on it?
There was very little strategy behind the writing. I write stories that concern me, and I've always wanted to make a movie about the dynamics in a village. I grew up in a village, and this dynamic is something that can work very positively. If someone needs help quickly, it's so fast and easy. In Hundshut, it has become a lot more darker. And of course, at some point, I wondered if this is a story that other people would want to see. Mm-hmm. But after the incredible positive feedback first from the actors who wanted to take part despite of the adverse circumstances, and now also from the audience, the nervousness is getting smaller.
Okay. And well, you already went into the next question a little bit because why you thought it might resonate with the audience. Even though the world that the story takes place in is very far removed experience-wise from what most people nowadays live. You've got the impending war. There's a lot of less technical things going on. How did you think the audience might react to that? Or did you think that that might even be more interesting to them?
If you go by the direct setting, then it's absolutely true. It takes place almost 100 years ago, and the plot point of the witch hunt is another 400 years earlier.
Yeah.
But when you look at how the people behave and what things start to happen at what point, without spoiling too much, the moment is reached where no one can go back, supposedly, it's something that I myself recognize my own behavior in it. And I think that's it sounds terribly arrogant, but our audience understands very well what we wanted to say with Hunswoot. And we realized this in our audience discussions on our cinema tour, and also through the feedback we reserve online, for example.
And I mean, you know, in a way, sad as it is, that there is this sort of modern day witch hunt version with, you know, internet trolls and all of that going on.
Unfortunately, it is so, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the process overall? How long did the script take? What were the major challenges? And how long was the production process and then the filming?
The writing, the process of actually writing the script is something that is very fast for me. Mm-hmm. But the ideas are in my head for a very long time.
Yeah.
For years. which part was the starting point for Hunswoot. Mm-hmm. The real difficult part came afterwards. From the first version of the script to the release of the movie, it was almost 4 years.
Ooh, yeah.
And at the moment, it became clear that we weren't going to get any film funding, and we didn't have a major production company behind us. Mm-hmm. So we had to do a lot of replanning and scaling back.
Yeah.
And I was incredibly lucky that everyone in front of the camera and behind and next to the camera was still on board, and everyone really wanted to make this movie. Mm-hmm. And it was really a hard project.
Yeah. You filmed in a kind of like a museum village, if I remember that correctly. How was that?
It was great in one point, because these villages are, the buildings in this museum's village are transported from their original place to this museum. They are real.
Yeah.
And until the desks and the...
Yeah, the furniture and everything.
The furniture,
yeah.
Thank you. So you can't get more real and more authentic than that. Mm-hmm. So it was great. The other point was there were tourists in this in these villages while we filmed. So sometimes you have school kids in scenes where they not belong.
I see. And how long did the filming take overall? How much time did you end up spending behind the camera?
21 days.
Yeah.
So nothing for a feature movie. It was a money thing, of course.
Yeah.
But with enough planning before, it is possible.
Okay. What was the hardest and what was the easiest scene to shoot? You know, as technical, but maybe as well as emotional, I think.
There were different challenges, very simple things like wrong weather at the wrong time. And yeah, the fact that we had very little time to shoot.
Yeah.
And of course, there are very emotional and often psychological exhausting scenes.
Yeah.
And especially then it's important to discuss and plan and rehearse everything so that everyone feels comfortable on set. It was not so hard because I had a great and very experienced cast that helped me.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, we had Fritzi Hennemann as an intimacy coordinator on set. It's a position that not yet, but it's very common in Germany. But I think it's extremely important because it's a bridge between the production and the actors, and yeah, make sure that everyone is allowed to say everything.
Yeah.
The scenes are planned in detail, just like a stunt or something. There is special clothing. The actors are guided. And for myself, in the process of this preparation, I learned that intimacy is much more than just nudity or sex scenes. That was very helpful.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite scene? If you can talk about the scene without giving away too much.
This scene especially gives away nothing. If it was a not independent production, the scene would have been cut, definitely. But I like it extremely. It's a scene in the forest where two brothers are talking about their standing in the village, about the state of the world and the people. It's a very philosophical scene.
Yeah.
I think it's the best thing I've written so far. And the scene, because one of the two brothers is drunk, could have slipped very quickly into the unintentionally funny.
Yeah.
And then it wouldn't have worked. But the two actors, Ferdinand Dörfler and Andreas Pegler, made it so great and played it so great. It's not only my favorite scenes, but also the audience likes it very much.
Nice. Well, plus, especially, you know, it's not something we get a lot as an audience in movies, you know, that two men talk about their place in the world. I mean, it's not that common, I have to say, I feel. I mean, with women, it happens more often, but with men, like a normal conversation about these kinds of things, like you said, you know, it's usually if they're drunk or if they're angry, but not like in a normal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds, yeah, that definitely sounds like a wonderful scene. Konstantin Wecker. For our international audience, he's an old school German singer-songwriter, almost a little bit notorious at some point. And he not only acts in the film, but he's also written the music and the score for the film.
Yeah.
Was there anything specific you wanted music-wise or that you wanted to avoid, or did you give him free rein to do whatever he wanted?
I personally really love Konstantin's music. So when he offered to be the composer, I was just excited and had complete confidence in him. We talked really early about what the music should sound like, and we both agreed that there should be very little music, so that there are about 6 or 7 minutes of music in 2-hour movie, and that it should be very minimalistic. So most of the time it's just piano and strings.
Mm-hmm.
There are just 2 important scenes where it's a bit more opulent.
I feel oftentimes the music can be a little bit overpowering as well.
Yeah.
In regards to then the contrast to the dialogue, like volume-wise, I don't know if you've noticed that. You listen to something and the dialogue is very low, and then you turn up the volume, all of a sudden music comes on and it just blasts you.
Yeah, I think I like it very much when the music assists the emotions in a movie, but if it creates the emotions, then it's too much or wrong, or the wrong position. So I think when it's not needed, it speaks for the actors.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the next question might be a little bit tricky, because you said Heimatfilm wasn't really on your radar in regards to Hundsvud. But I was wondering, now that I put it on your radar, how has your outlook changed in regards to the genre and where Hundsvud might fit into that genre?
I think the main goal in any form of art should be honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And we shot a film in Bavaria with Bavarian actors, and apart from a few Austrians, Bavarian team. So it was clear that it should be set there. And if that is the definition of a Heimat film, then I think it's a very good genre.
You mentioned that obviously the film is, you know, set in the rural area in Bavaria. And nature is often a second main protagonist in a lot of Heimatfilme. And I was wondering, even though obviously you didn't really have Heimatfilm on your movie brain, nevertheless, did that influence your directing style and the nature and the surroundings, how you wanted to present that and catch that on film?
Absolutely, yes. Primarily, the forest is essential to the story. And we spend a really long time looking for the perfect forest.
Mm-hmm.
This is, one hand is a very practical reason for this. So in 1932, there was no forest industry, as it is today. And on the other hand, the right kind of forest creates a very specific atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And one audience member said after screening that she could really smell the forest. That's a great compliment.
Yeah. Just a quick follow-up question. I was wondering, in regards to lighting, how was that with the forest? Because I would assume that, you know, you have to be very careful and specific in regards to how you light your scenes if you film in a forest.
We set the movie in autumn,
mm-hmm.
So that the forest is lighter and you can see. So that was a bit easier. And Benjamin Strobel, my cameraman and my DOP, he knows moments beforehand, when will the light be in which position and where has he looked to light. It's fantastic. I don't understand how he does it, but he can. So he knew we have a very similar language in storytelling. So I trusted him completely. He was the one who found this part of the forest where we shot. And it was exactly as great as he told.
That sounds like someone has a sixth sense.
Absolutely.
Given, obviously, that Heimatfilm is it's a quite tricky genre, I was still wondering, do you have any personal or emotional connection to the genre? I mean, you mentioned earlier that usually one thinks of the 1950s and the Schlagerfilme and maybe the Sissi and Försterfilme.
When we talk about this era of the Heimatfilm, I think it was meant to be an escape from reality and destruction from these times. And I can appreciate that as a child of its time. but I have to admit, it's not my kind of movie. Mm-hmm. But if you also include modern films like, I don't know the English title, sorry, Hirankel or Das Finstere Tal, they are simply great films, no matter which genre it is.
Yeah.
And I've read somewhere that even productions like Monaco Franze or Pumuckl are Heimatfilm. And at that point, I feel very much at home.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Monaco Franze is, I mean, it's a classic.
Yeah.
One more Heimatfilm question, and I promise then we're done. Now that you've done one film that can be partially attributed to the Heimatfilm genre, and you mentioned Das Finstere Tal and Hirankel, do you think you might do more films in that might at least dip a toe into that direction? And if so, what sub-variety could you be interested in to tackle? Like a Western or a musical? Well, musical, I don't know, maybe a musical.
Yeah, I've talked to Corinna Binzer, which one of our actresses, about a musical. So let's see. I think in the productions, a few people found each other who work well together and enjoy working together.
Yeah.
So if we are allowed to make another movie, I think it will happen in Bavaria again and the audience will notice this. But I can't say what this next story will be.
Okay. But still, I have one final question for you, which is what is next for you as a director, if you can tell us that?
Not exactly. I have a lot of ideas, but as I said, I can't say which one will be the next one that we can realize. It is also a financial question, of course. We were only able to shoot Hunsmut because we were given incredible trust by everyone involved, and everyone was willing to do it without much money, much time, and so on. And we can't and we don't want to do it like this again. So for the next time, we need more help. We need film funding. I hope there will be a next project.
Okay, fingers crossed. And thank you so much for sitting down with us today, Daniel. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for letting me part of it.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.